Hey everyone, Tim Lawson here. Just a reminder that I am running a 13-run pool for the Major League Baseball season. It's kicking off on opening day. That means at the time of the release of this, there's only about 36 more hours to go. Really only 24 more hours to get into the pool. Message me on Twitter at The Better Life or send me an email, podcast@thebetterlife.us, if you want in. I explain a little bit more about a 13-run pool is on the episode, but just a heads up that we only got about 24 more hours to get that in. I'll be running more as the season goes, but the first one kicks off on opening day. Tuesday, March 28, 2023. This is The Better Life. I am your host, Timothy Lawson. Living a better life means moving on from one sport to the next. My goodness, can't keep track of these darn sports. Before you know it, the Super Bowl happens, and then basketball rolls on. March Madness is here, and now we're rolling into baseball season. Before we know it, it'll be Masters time, and goodness gracious, can't keep track of it all. As you probably heard at the top before the podcast started, I'm running an MLB pool. That is one of the first ways that I'm getting involved here in Major League Baseball. A 13-run pool is pretty simple. Pretty simple. You sign up, and then you are randomly assigned a team, and then you just sort of watch that team perform. And, you don't have to watch them. You just keep track of them. And first person whose team scores every iteration from 0 to 13, anything over 13 just counts as 13. Every iteration from 0 to 13, that player wins. And then the pool is over. And then when that happens, I'll probably restart a new pool, and I'll do that through the All-Star break probably. So I probably won't start another pool, after the All-Star break. We'll see. But if you're listening to this on the morning or the night this comes out, man, if you're listening to this on a Tuesday evening, I see you and I appreciate you. If you're listening to this on a Wednesday morning, I appreciate you. If you're listening to this 3 months later, if you're listening to this in the year 2024, I very much appreciate you. That's to say that I appreciate everybody who takes time to listen to this, but big ups to the people that are listening to this on the night that it drops. Opening day starts Thursday on the 30th. I think 1 p.m. I want to say is the first. But anyways, I'm going to hit random assignment on all of the teams before I go to bed on Wednesday evening, the 29th. So if you're listening to this in time, please, and if you're interested, please DM me or email me, podcast@thebetterlife.us. Let me know you want in. We'll get you in there. There's still a handful of slots left, so I'm confident anybody who's interested will get a chance to play. Sorry, I am sweating a soccer match to my right here and had to take a second to see what was going on. Other baseball stuff. People to follow if you want to bet baseball. Spreadopedia, Jason Weingarten. He's been on the show before. He's at Spreadopedia on Twitter. Baseball guru. I suggest following him. He now does a show on Unabated called Deep Left. That's probably worth a listen. Gil Alexander, of course, friend of mine, longtime baseball bettor, not as into baseball as he was, maybe a decade ago, but still has his finger on the pulse of what's going on, especially with the people that he has around him. And on a numbers game, he'll have a handful of people, including Paul Spohr and Base Winner is his nickname. Good baseball stuff there. And then the way that I'm going to bet it early on is, and I got into this last season, yes, no run in the first inning. This became a very popular market, last season, and it became popular kind of in the wrong way. You would see sports books, DraftKings, FanDuel, etc. They would have like a no run first inning club and they would sort of promote people getting in on the no on the run first inning when this market is typically when it's mispriced, it's typically mispriced to the yes first inning. So that is a way that I like to bet. I have one or two outs that typically is at least a few cents better on that yes on the run first inning. And so that's the way that I like to bet there. So the other day, I was about to fire on a regular season win total for, and what that means for people who are unfamiliar, what that means is, you're wagering on how many wins a team is going to get in the regular season. It's an over-under of how many wins is listed for that market. And I was about to fire on one of them. And then I was like, man, and I got plus 105 on the side that I liked. But I was like, man, that's like 6 months to resolve a plus 105 bet. I just couldn't, and I decided not to. And this is a evolution, I guess. This is progression that my sports betting is making. I'm trying to not let myself bet into these long-term bets at these, at these low ROI prices. Not because I shouldn't, right? Because of value, but just because I think there's better ways for me to get my money into the market on a daily and weekly basis in the markets that I like. I will take futures odds at longer odds to where I have the belief that in that amount of time that the money's sitting there, it's getting equity because it should be shorter odds at the point in which it's going to resolve, right? There's those bets that I'll still make. But these long-term bets, these season win totals that are sitting in your account for 4 to 6 months, I'm not really with that anymore. So I decided to not bet that, and I don't think I'll have one of those bets in my pocket this season, which will be the first time in 10, 11 years that I haven't had one season long regular season win bet in baseball. So progress. I mean, not progress. It's not like if you do this, you're a step behind. But just the way that my betting has changed. Okay, hello everyone. Thank you for tuning into The Better Life. If this is your first time listening, welcome. This is a podcast for recreational gamblers where I talk to gamblers about their life of betting, whether it's in sports betting or casino gaming, or I'll have routine guest co-hosts come on and we'll talk about a number of things inside the gaming life and lifestyle, casino gaming, sports betting, etc. This week on the podcast, I am doing another origin stories and calling back to the way that I start every one of my interviews with a new guest, asking them what their first exposure to gambling was. This has been the one constant that I can really think of through all of my interviews with new guests. A couple people have pointed out that it's one of their favorite things about this podcast, one of their favorite questions they've heard asked on a podcast, which is very, very flattering. Thank you. And while I'm in between booking guests, I thought, hey, I'd put another one of these together. I just did one of these a few weeks ago. It was episode, goodness gracious, it was episode 201, I want to say. 201. Episode 201 is called Origin Stories Volume 1. And of course, this is Origin Stories Volume 2. Now, Origin Stories Volume 1 was just episodes 1 through 10, right? It had 10 stories. Now, I have 10 episodes or 10 stories here as well. However, it's not as simple as just being 11 through 20, because this is sort of showing how The Better Life sort of found its way. I started doing more than just interviews. Let's start with episode 11. Episode 11 was the first appearance of Eric Rosenthal. At the time, I introduced him as co-host of Vegas Confessions. That's how far back this stuff goes. And Eric tells us a story about how he was first exposed to gambling.
All right. Well, I'm stoked to be here. Let's do it.
Good. So, Eric, let's start with the one thing that all of us gamblers have in common. One day, we were exposed to gambling. How was that day for you? Do you remember that time?
Oh, my goodness. Do I remember that time? So, 1988, I'm 8 years old. I'm a Mets fan. The Dodgers just crushed my Mets. And my father says to me, Do you want to put a bet on the World Series? $1, you pick whichever team you want. So I chose the Dodgers. They just beat my Mets, right? Oral Hershiser can't be touched. So I had a $1 bet as an 8-year-old with my father. And if you remember that World Series, when Kirk Gibson came up to hit and knocked one out, and now he's rounding the bases and he's pumping his fist as he's running around.
Right.
I'm doing that in my living room mocking my father. So not only was it my my first gambling opportunity, it was also my first shit-talking opportunity, of which I took full advantage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember my father saying to me at the end of the series, you know, this may be the most expensive dollar you've ever won. And I didn't know what it meant then, but I might know now.
Then we move on to episode 12. Well, not quite, actually. Episode 12 was actually featured Gil Alexander, his second appearance on the podcast. We were talking about the SCOTUS decision on the repeal of PASPA and the hearing that the Supreme Court had, and a story that he had about a sports book not paying one of his bets. But then episode 13, Chris Taylor, Vegas Bun Boy. Those of you of a certain ilk that were really deep into this community, remember Vegas Bun Boy from across the pond. Him and I talked about U.S. gambling versus U.K. gambling, and he gave us his story on his first exposure to gambling. Before we get there, though, Chris, let's learn a little bit about you as a gambler. Bring us back to that day where you were first exposed to gambling, where you were like, oh, now that's interesting.
You know what? It wasn't until I listened to one of your early episodes that I even considered this as actually gambling. My dad used to come home from work on a Friday evening with tickets from a sweepstake that his office had done. So it's a pound in the pot. And if you pick the right minute that the first goal scored in the big game at the weekend, then you win the 90 quid back. And I'd never thought of that as gambling until I listened to, I don't know, maybe it was your show with Chris earlier on this year. I thought, actually, hang on, that was absolutely gambling. There's definitely an element of gambling to that.
Yeah.
So yeah, when I was 10 or 11, I guess, and then the UK got a national lottery in 1994, and it went crazy. The whole country went fucking crazy for this. Obviously, you guys had it for a hell of a long time. We'd never had anything like it, and all of a sudden, everybody was talking about this £1 ticket to win £40 million, whatever it was. So that certainly piqued my interest, and then it just disappeared, and then nothing, no gambling whatsoever, until I was about 16, and then my cousin who lives in Long Island was teaching me how to play Texas Hold'em, because that was when that was all blowing up. So he taught me how to play. I bought a cheap set of chips to bring home with me, taught my friends so we could play casually on weekends. And then when I moved to college, when I was 18, I took it all with me there and taught my friends there how to play. And you know, by this time I wasn't really a novice, so they were all brand new to the game. So I had about, I don't know, 6 months before they caught up to me, where I was making a nice little bit of cash on the side. In my first sort of term or two at uni, saved me having to get a bar job, which was amazing. But then they caught up, and I'm not a great poker player, so I was not excelling past them too quickly, and that was that. That was my 6 months of being an advantage player was over. So.
I miss Chris Taylor. Does everybody know where he is? Is he all right? Someone let me know. DM me. Let me know. Chris Taylor, doing good. Or if he's not doing good, I'm also curious. I would also like to not like to know that, but I'm would like to know how he's doing. I would like an update on Chris Taylor. That's what I'm trying to say here. Vegas Bun Boy. Okay, episode 14 saw a World Cup preview and then a return of Eric Rosenthal. I guess we realized we had something good early on, and he made a quick return here. Episode 15, third story that we're gonna share here. Episode 15. Dr. Mike from the You Can Bet On That podcast. Need to get him back on here. I don't know why I haven't talked to him on the podcast since then. Maybe this might be his only appearance on the podcast. I think it might be. I'll have to double check that. But here's Dr. Mike's story. Dr. Mike, we start every one of these conversations at the same point because all of us gamblers have one thing in common, and is that at one point in our life, we saw what gambling was, right? We were exposed to it. Bring us back to that day for you. Were you maybe not when you first started gambling yourself, but when you saw it for the first time?
Well, you know what? I think I've been thinking about this, and I think it goes back to I was about 22, maybe not quite 22 years old, and me and some friends of mine were playing poker after work, and it was pretty late on a Friday night, and somebody said, you know, we should just go to Vegas. And that's what we did. We left at like, you know, 4 a.m. and drove to Vegas, stayed all day Saturday, and then drove back Sunday to San Diego.
Do you remember what you played?
Yeah, well, we played mostly blackjack.
Okay.
And we went down to like that area where used to be the Stardust and Circus is there. And, there was a Silver City.
Sure.
Was a small casino there. And Silver Slipper was there. Silver Slipper.
Wow.
And Slots of Fun, which I believe is still there.
Is Slots of Fun still there?
I think. Isn't it still there?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, yeah.
I think it is. I haven't been down that way in, oh, my God, it's probably been 20 years since I've been down there. But actually, I'm going to go in July, just as a side note, to Vegas. And we're planning on going down there to Circus. I just want to see what it's like now.
Yeah.
But anyway, we went and just like an overnight thing and played blackjack. And I remember doing so well. And I was playing $1 blackjack at Silver City. And I think I must have, you know, won maybe close to $100, just a dollar at a time. And I remember driving home thinking, wow, this is great. And then from then on, we just kept going. But I think that was the initial, you know, start. And blackjack was the only game we knew then. And then, you know, I learned other games as time went on, craps and whatnot. But it was initially that blackjack. And
yeah.
I remember my mom giving me a big lecture about, you know, it's dangerous in Las Vegas and be careful. And I said, oh, it'll be fine. You know, how are five 22-year-olds going to get in trouble?
Right? So. Yeah, that rarely happens. Someone who was new to the gambling podcast space, oh, man, I was just tickled to have Dr. Mike on. It was great. Episode 16 was a Vegas trip recap. That was my first trip recap, I believe. That was episode 16. Episode 17. Now we're getting into the depths, the deep cuts of guests of Better Life Past. George Yassa. He was a poker up and comer. I'm not sure how far he came up. But he tells us about being from Egypt and how he got into gambling. So, George, we're going to go back to your first exposure to gambling. So maybe not when you started gambling, but like when you first saw it. Maybe a family member was playing. Maybe you saw it on TV. Whatever it may be, what was your first exposure to some form of gambling?
So it wasn't until I was actually almost 21. I grew up in Egypt, and there wasn't, you know, any gambling around there. No family members gambled, at least not that I knew of. In the summer of 2004, I was taking a vacation with some friends in San Diego, and at the time, it was right after Chris Moneymaker had won the World Series, so
sure.
ESPN was airing all the reruns of that. It was constantly on TV. And we had this beautiful rental that we had in Mission Beach, right on the boardwalk, oceanfront. And after watching that final table main of the 2003 main event, we started playing cards. And I'll tell you, the whole week we were there, we probably played more poker than actually enjoyed the time we were in San Diego or going out or drinking or anything else. you know, we just gathered up whatever change we had, went, bought a deck of cards, looked up the rules, and started from there. And after that, it became the trend that anytime we were hanging out or at a party, a poker game would break out at some point. And, you know, it just kind of escalated from there.
Episode 18 was a casino stroll with Cousin Vito. That was a good episode. That was fun. I don't know if I should ever do one like that again. Maybe I should. Cousin Vito from Cousin Vito's Casino Podcast. Him and I did sort of a virtual walk around the casino, discussing casino games and how we like to play them and stuff like that. It was fun. Episode 19, Sean Chafin, who did the True Gambling Stories podcast, poker player, poker stuff. He shared us his thoughts. Not his thoughts. His story. His first exposure to gambling. Before we get more into your career and your you as a journalist and the podcast and stuff, let's talk about gambling, especially your introduction to it. Do you remember your first exposure to gambling? So maybe not when you started gambling, but the first time you saw it.
Probably the first time I saw it is my dad had probably a monthly game, maybe twice a month. My dad and his friends at UPS, he retired from UPS, they always had a little poker game going on. And so that's how I kind of started getting into it and playing poker. I'd play with them once in a while, my brother and I would. And that game still goes on today, and I still play with them quite a bit. And then also every summer, you know, I was in Texas, and it's hot in Dallas in the summer. So we'd take a lot of vacations in the mountains up in New Mexico, you know, Red River, Albuquerque, and we'd visit the horse races too.
Oh, sure.
So we made it a point to go to the horse races every summer, it seemed like. And so we'd do a lot of horse gambling, horse wagering also.
Yeah.
So those were the two things that really got me into it. And I really like both of them. I like horse racing, and I like poker a lot still to this day.
You still been on the ponies?
Yeah, once in a while. I'm not doing very well. I didn't do very well on the Triple Crown, but, you know, it's not always about winning. It's just kind of about having a little action, having some fun.
Yeah. What are Sean Chafin's up to? Anybody know? Is he still writing poker stories? Hope so. Okay. Episode 20. Michael Traeger from Travel Zork. Zorkfest fame. Took 20 episodes to get him on. If you gave me the over-under on, like, 25, and I had to guess on which side of that Michael Traeger was on, I might have gone over. I didn't realize he was a top 20 episode guest. But here he is. Michael Traeger, Travel Zork, shares both his first gambling exposure and his first Vegas exposure.
I'm curious, and I think you've told this story on another podcast, but for listeners that maybe are less familiar with you, Michael, tell us about your first exposure to gambling. Tell us about that time that you first saw gambling in person.
My first real exposure to gambling, I would say, well, there are two, like, truly gambling, where I actually was gambling and won some money. And then there's my first exposure to Las Vegas. So I could start with the gambling one. And that was when I was around 11 years old, and we were on the Oceanic, which was a cruise from New York to the Bahamas and Bermuda. And they had bingo, and they let anybody at any age play bingo. I think technically today anybody can truly gamble when you're out beyond whatever distance from the United States, you know, so that you're in open seas. I think most ships now probably make you be 18 years old to actually gamble just to align with the way the rest of the world was. But back then, they allowed little 11-year-olds like me to play bingo. And I was enamored with it. I thought it was interesting. And, you know, I'd buy this card for money, and I had a chance of winning. And I actually did. They had an evening where they had blackout bingo. So we're talking, this is like 1981, 1982. And the bingo card was probably a dollar or two. And I was able to fill up the entire bingo card, and I won. I think it was $330. And to this 11-year-old boy, this was like, wow. I think that's my earliest memory of me actually gambling. But that's And I always it was a very interesting cruise, not for the topic of this podcast, but one of many of the things that I like quite a bit are I love airplanes. I love passenger experience on airplanes. I can talk about airplanes forever. I could talk about the history of TWA. I could talk about it always ties in with the loyalty programs and also first class and business class configurations on airplanes, interesting airplane routes. I also happen to love trains. And I love ocean liners. I'm absolutely obsessed with ocean liners, especially Cunard and the Queen Mary and Queen Elizabeth and all those kind of things. So this was a really it was a really cool cruise for me. So that's it brought together a lot of interests and also got me interested a little bit in gambling. The other story is the first time that I went to Vegas. And that was when I was around 8 or 9 years old, and that was with my parents, and we stayed at Caesars. And we were in a big suite at Caesars, completely VIP, but my father didn't gamble. At that time, he was the CFO for a semiconductor company, a privately held company, and his boss was a very big craps player. And I don't know what the whole story was, but like he went out there to pay off some of his markers and Caesars like comped us the whole stay. And I have lots of memories in my head of that like Caesars stay. And we stayed in one of the Rain Man suites. So that's like one of my visions of Las Vegas.
Moving on to episode 21. this is an episode that lives in infamy. If you know me personally, and are aware of certain things, Eric Rosenthal comes on and talks about an Atlantic City gambling trip and a friendly wager that didn't go as planned. Look, Eric Rosenthal, what is that, three appearances in the first 21 episodes? We knew we had something going. That was fun. Make it sound like we were falling in love. We knew we had something special. Episode 22 was Keith Lyle, who is a comedian and a former casino dealer. Keith Lyle came on to talk about a couple roles that he had, a couple appearances and involvement that he had in movies, and then specifically the role that he did have on The Hangover as a dealer at the table there. But here's the thing. I started listening to this, and I definitely did not listen to all of it because it's a longer interview, but I don't think I got around to asking him this question, unfortunately. I don't think we got this. I'd have to listen to more of it. Or if someone else wants to go back and listen to it and let me know. I didn't have the time to listen to the whole thing. I was listening to the first like 10 minutes of every episode to catch it. But if I asked him if he gambled, I don't think I asked him this question. So yeah, there's a missed opportunity there. Episode 23 was a Vegas Vacation recap, Vegas Vacation 7, to be specific. Tony Snyder was there. Episode 24, Michael Shackelford, the Wizard of Odds. I think everybody has admiration for this man in one way or another. Many of us use his website as a way to you know, look at strategy and odds and stuff like that. And what's interesting here is gambling and math and numbers was such an inherent part of his life early on. He couldn't quite figure out his first exposure to gambling. Let's start where we start all of these interviews, and going to that moment that you were exposed to gambling. So maybe not the first time you were gambling per se, but if there was a moment before that that you can remember, maybe it was someone playing, maybe you saw it on TV, wherever you were, tell us about that first exposure to gambling.
I don't even remember, because I have been gambling as long as I have had a concept of what money is. And as a kid, I would challenge people to bets on anything where I perceived an advantage. For example, we had a basketball hoop in our driveway, and I knew even the hottest sports enthusiasts in the neighborhood could not shoot 50% because it was really high up and we were dealing with kids. And so I would challenge them, even money, you can't make a free throw. And they accepted this bet right and left. And I must have made so much money on that and anything else. I mean, I just had a natural sense of what the odds were of anything happening. And yeah, I just love betting on oddball stuff. And then, but as I got older, I love to deal blackjack among my friends because it's the easiest way to make money gambling is to be the casino. So, and especially when you're dealing with a bunch of teenagers, they have no concept of proper blackjack strategy. And I would see them doing stuff like doubling on 14 and it was just easy money. So, yeah, it just comes naturally to me. So, don't even remember where it started.
Episode 25. This was a good one. Episode 25, Richard Munchkin, co-host of Gambling with an Edge and an Advantage player, a very renowned and respected card counter. He tells us about not only his first exposure to gambling and playing cards, but learning what a good scotch is at the age of six. Many of my listeners are familiar with Gambling with an Edge, a podcast that you co-host with Bob Dancer. And whether they're familiar with your story or if they've pieced together one from your answers to questions and such, let's go back to the origins of your gambling days, and let's go even further back of your first exposure to gambling. Do you remember when you first saw it?
Well, I don't exactly. I was always a game player. So my father taught me how to play chess when I was three. My grandmother taught me how to play gin rummy. And when I was very, very young, my father and grandfather, at every family get-together, after dinner, would play pinochle for money. And my father and grandfather would have periodic poker games. So if I stayed at my grandfather's house, I would stay up and watch him play poker with his buddies. And, you know, the highlight of the night for me would be when my grandfather would have to go to the bathroom and I would get to play a hand, which maybe started when I was six or something. They also, for some reason, all of the guys that my grandfather played with drank scotch. So I was also in charge of going to refill their scotch and water. And so that's, I like to say, that's where I learned to play poker and drink good scotch at six. But yeah, those are some of the earliest memories of gambling that I have.
Episode 26, I misspoke earlier. Episode 26 is the Vegas Vacation 7 recap. Episode 23 was the preview. Back when, you know, got to preview the trip, then recap the trip. Man, we really milk those trips for content, don't we? Episode 27, Bogan Painter, recreational gambler, podcast community member, good friend of mine. He came on and talked about his first couple gambles. Bogan, you know where this show starts. You know where the interview starts. What? Tell me, do you remember when you were first exposed to gambling? Do you remember that moment or what it was that you saw?
I do. Interestingly enough, it's sports betting. I'm not a fan of sports betting anymore, but my first introduction to gambling was, as I believe I was about 10 or 11 years old, participating in my dad's office's NCAA pool. And I spent probably 3 or 4 hours looking at the head-to-head matchups of every team and just trying to really dissect everything and end up winning it. And I think there was about 220 people in it. First place took half the pot, so I made over $1,000. And so that was a good first gambling experience. But for the most part, my introduction to the casino world is through poker. I played a lot of poker in college and did very well against my friends, and then found illegal games around town and did really well in those. And first experiences in a casino were boats off of Florida and Myrtle Beach, and playing poker on those boats. And the first casino I ever stepped foot in actually was the Trump Taj Mahal in Atlantic City, which the having it open again as the Hard Rock is quite exciting for me.
And then last but not least, Preston Johnson. Episode 28 saw Preston Johnson, professional sports bettor. He now is, I think, co-owner of Crawley Town in League 2. I mean, he's deep into, not deep into it, but I know he has like high involvement with like NFTs and stuff like that. He's really done well with the foundation that poker and then sports betting gave him to move on to other opportunities. Just a fantastic person to pay attention to and get it updates on. Preston Johnson, professional sports bettor, rounding out this this 10-part volume, I guess, of first exposure to gambling from early on in the podcast. We are going to start this where we start a lot of these interviews, and that's going all the way back to when we were first exposed to gambling. So maybe not even when you first started making bets, but like maybe you saw someone playing poker, maybe you saw something on TV, whatever. If you remember that your earliest exposure to gambling, what was it?
Yeah, I imagine my earliest exposure is pretty similar to a lot of people's that are gambling in any way or form now is – So I was in high school, but 2003, the big poker boom with Chris Moneymaker, ESPN started showing the World Series of Poker more regularly on their telecast. And then they also had the whole card invention, so you could actually see the people's cards. So I started playing poker back then in high school. And I think, you know, if it wasn't for I'd like to at least think that if I was not very successful at that, I wouldn't be gambling. But I was fortunate enough back then when I started playing, I was winning. And so I kept playing, and then kind of everything went from there. But I was, you know, originally just playing house games with friends for $5 or $10. But the first time when I turned 18, where I grew up near Los Angeles, they have a few Indian casinos around where you only have to be 18 to play. I played my first tournament and it wasn't like a ton, but there's quite a few players, but it was only like $150 buy-in, but which was a lot for a 18-year-old in high school. But I ended up getting third. And so I kind of, the first time I had like thousands of dollars in my hand at one time, it was a big deal. And so I went from there. I ended up, you know, depositing a good portion online and playing a lot online. And my biggest, I guess, claim to fame is in a Sunday tournament on PokerStars. I got a third place, pretty big cash. And I was playing mostly cash games, but I'd play tournaments occasionally on Sundays there. And so that was kind of where my first initial just betting, gambling, anything originated. And I love sports growing up. And I'm sure we'll get into more details on that, whether I played some, which I did, but I also studied it in college. Sports psychology is where my master's degree is. And so kind of when Black Friday happened and poker got banned online in the United States, it was kind of this natural segue into, well, you need to keep gambling and you have this bankroll from cards. Might as well bet on sports. And so that's when I kind of picked up sports, probably been almost 11 years now.
Okay, that'll do it. The first volume of the origin stories were episodes 1 through 10, and the volume 2 was 11 through 28. I mean, that's how many different types of episodes were sprinkled in there. And you know, I think that says two things about you know, betting content and these interviews and stuff like that. And I know I've expressed this before, but first of all, getting guests is difficult, right? That's a difficult thing to do well, and I admit it's a challenge for me as well, because you try not to just get anybody, right? You try to get someone that you think is going to be interesting or has a compelling story, that's going to be able to represent themselves well, etc. And then there's also a lot of just other things that you kind of want to talk about and cover, right? And you know, the first 10, 12 episodes being all about the interviews and stuff like that. And then, you know, the SCOTUS decision coming up on episode 12. And then, you know, we had, you know, stories from an Atlantic City trip that went on, the Vegas Vacation 7 preview and recap. You know, it's in different types of these episodes are sprinkled around, and It just shows like how much fun this community is, how many, you know, how excited we get for the opportunity to talk to each other, to meet up with each other, the stories, etc. It's just a ton of fun. So anyhow, this was volume two. I'm sure these episodes don't get hit, you know, no one's hitting play on these right away, but it gives me an opportunity to take a short break while I schedule the next couple interviews for the podcast. Hopefully we'll have a new one for you come this coming Monday. I don't really have, bettermerch.com is where you can support the show with the Tecopsa merchandise. Use promo code YO11 for 11% off of your purchase. I think what is noteworthy here is Mississippi Rob just tweeted out the updated schedule for the Biloxi 23 trip, May 18 to May 20. He's at Mississippi Rob 4 on Twitter. Not much has changed other than he made slight changes to times and locations. So that way people who are participating in golf and other stuff can possibly get to and from things more easily. Just a quick recap. Thursday, May 18, 7:30 p.m. There's going to be a meetup at IP at the Chill Bar. This is sponsored by Travel Zork. You heard Michael Traeger on this episode earlier. He'll be there. He's sponsoring that meetup. What that means to be sponsored, I'm not quite sure yet. Michael, Michael or Mississippi Raw, let me know so I can tell people what exactly that means. I don't want to be too presumptuous and get people's hopes up I don't want to overextend Michael's generosity on what that means. So let me know what that means so I can tell people. 8:30 p.m. on the 18th, group gaming at IP. This will likely look like a squeeze game, craps, or other things happening there in the pit. Friday, May 19, 7:30 a.m., coffee dice at IP. God help me if I'm up at 7:30. But if I am, I'll be there playing coffee dice with everybody else at IP. 11 a.m., a sports betting roundtable at the Harrah's Gulf Coast at the 406 Club. Zach White will be there. He's at Gamble Balls. That's a great Twitter name, I know. At Gamble Balls on Twitter. But Zach White's a professional bettor. There's a lot you can learn from a guy like him. This is a great way to network and ask questions, not just with him, but with everybody else that's there on what they like to bet, how they get down, stuff like that. Great way to network with other sports bettors. 2 p.m., a Baccarat learning session at IP. This is just, we're going to get as many people on the table as we can, and sort of anybody who is just sort of curious about why we make such a big deal about these Baccarat squeeze games, why we like them so much, and you don't quite understand, you don't have the games played, sit back and watch and ask questions. It'd be a great way to learn or get more familiar with a different game. 5 p.m., again, this is still Friday, 5 p.m., a group dinner at the Fillin' Station. 7 p.m., a cocktail meetup at IP at 850 Wine and Spirits. This will likely be the meetup right here, the cocktail meetup at IP, 7 p.m. at 850 Wine and Spirits. This is going to likely be the meetup where if you wear a piece of Better Life merchandise, the Do Better mask notwithstanding, talking about a t-shirt or the hat, if you wear a piece of Better Life merchandise, I will buy your first round. And then shortly after the meetup, group gaming at IP. Love it. I'm staying at IP. I think I've said it a number of times, but that's still the case. I will be staying at IP. Saturday the 20th, 9:30, golf outing at Grand Bear. Mississippi Rob just messaged the Biloxi chat in the Discord channel. Tee times have been booked. 9:30 on the 20th is when the first group is going, and I think we have four groups that are set for that. If you have told Mississippi Rob that you were interested in the golf outing and you will need rental clubs, if you've expressed to him that you were interested and you also know that you're going to need rental clubs, let him know that so that way he can inform the course. 10 a.m., this is Saturday the 20th, 10 a.m., group gaming at Beau Rivage. 5 p.m., group dinner at Half Shell Seafood, and then 7 p.m., cocktail meetup at the Palace at the Contact Sports Bar, and then 7:30 p.m. group gaming at the Palace. Now, the reason why we did it this way is Saturday night group gaming at Beau Rivage is going to be both difficult to do as a group and, more specifically, pretty expensive. And none of us are going to Biloxi, Mississippi for high table minimums, right? So that is why Beau Rivage group gaming is now going to be a Saturday morning thing for those that are around. Now, look, at least... at least like 16 of us will probably be golfing. And so group gaming at Beau Rivage is kind of a just suggestion. Like, hey, if you're it, like, this is where we recommend everybody go to essentially be with the group. But this would also be a good time to check out other parts of Biloxi, should you care to. Now, the only thing that's not on this list that I'm pretty determined to do, and I'll need to find the right time to do it, it'll probably be maybe Friday morning before the sports betting roundtable, or maybe, oh man, I don't know when else I'm going to do this, but maybe I'll do it the Wednesday night before this all happens, or the Thursday. Oh, there we go. Thursday before the meetup, I'm going to get to Boomtown. If you're there, Boomtown is this small, just sawdust joint. It's great. Like, it's not great, but it's great. We love it, and I plan on spending a couple hours there, probably the Thursday, sometime in the middle of the day. And then, you know, I'll be there. Mark and Dr. Mike from You Can Bet on That will be there. Zach White, Michael Traeger, and other people from the community that I'm sure you'll recognize, at least his Twitter handles will be there. I have designed It's Better in Biloxi t-shirts, and I have designed it with the number 23 specifically for this meetup. I will have those up for pre-order by the end of this week at bettermerch.com. I'll tweet that out. I'll send it out. But by the end of this week, bettermerch.com will have pre-order available for these shirts. I think I think I'll probably just have a red and a gray available because those are the two colors that got the strongest feedback from people. The only thing I'm waiting on is I'm considering a different printer, considering one, and I'm waiting for a sample to come in to see what that looks like. If it doesn't hold to the standard that my local printer has, then I'm just going to continue with my local printer. Otherwise, I may switch up. I may start not switching up completely, but I may start transitioning to a different printing option. But that's what I'm waiting for. Once I get that shirt and see what it looks like, I'll get bettermerch.com. updated with the It's Better in Biloxi t-shirt. Finally, Patreon, probably the last time you're going to hear about it, thank God. I am a couple days away from shutting it down altogether. Everybody who was an ambassador in Q4 should have their promo code. If you don't, like, you have to email me at podcast@thebetterlife.us, email me. But I'm shutting that down. Something that I don't know if everybody caught on to with some of the responses that I got from people, the Better Life 2.0 episodes that I do with my better half, Mr. Rosenthal, are going to continue happening in a private feed. They're just not going on Patreon. And I have set up that feed, and access to that feed is just a one-time $25 transaction. You can either just DM me like, hey, I want access to this, and I'll tell you where you can send $25, or it's at bettermerch.com. There is a you can purchase the access to there. It's one time $25, which is essentially what you'd be paying in a year at Patreon anyway. So I thought that was the right price for it. And that series is still going to continue there. So if you're interested in that, that's how you can still listening to that. I want to make sure that's clear for everybody that that endeavor is not ending. It's just moving from Patreon to this private feed that you have to be the email that you purchase with is the email that I have the RSS feed sent to. So that way you can connect to it. So if you've already purchased it and you're like, hey, when do I see this new feed? Check your email. You should have an email from Transistor is probably where you'll see the email come from, a company called Transistor, with a way to connect to the new feed. If you purchased on the Better Merch and don't see that invite, please let me know, because every time I see an order come through, I have added someone on a subscriber list. Okay, I think that's it. I think I am done. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I will be back Monday with a new episode. Until then, I'm Timothy Lawson. Good night and good luck.